I want to talk to you today about broken fathers or blessed fathers. You may want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 and look at that story about that prodigal son that is there. Because in that we learn a lot about a father, and as we talk about the father of that prodigal son, we'll be able to develop this lesson. You see, we talk about Mother's Day and Father's Day, and it's a time whenever the Bible allows us to honor our father and our mothers. The Bible says not only do you obey your children in the Lord, for this is right, and I believe the next verse says something, doesn't it, about it is always right to do right. Maybe that's not in the text. Maybe it's only implied in that text. It's always wrong to do wrong. May not be in the text, but it surely must be implied in that text. But the Bible says not only to obey them, but to honor them. And so there's been set aside in our day the honoring of fathers and mothers. We've had Mother's Day and we've had Father's Day. And I'm not sure exactly the difference in those 2 days, but I do think that Father's Day is a whole lot cheaper. I'm not sure if you've thought about that, and maybe there's not as much made to do of it, but I want us today to do whatever we can to understand that children can be a crown or a curse to parents, and in application of the lesson this day, a crown or a curse to fathers. We need also understand that this story of the prodigal son tells us how to break the heart of a father. And the story of the prodigal son tells us how to make the heart of the father be filled with joy. And it's important for us to understand that in honoring our mothers and our fathers, children obeying their parents in the Lord and honoring them, it's important for us to understand that we, regardless of our age, either honor or dishonor our parents. My father and my mother have been dead for nearly 45 years. But I never stand in this pulpit. I hardly ever, maybe never, work on a sermon without thinking about, I wonder what Dad would think about this sermon if he could hear this sermon. We need to understand that if your father is deceased, That does not mean that you can no longer honor him. That if the father is not a part of your life, that you have no responsibility to honor them. But I want us today to talk about how to break a father's heart, or how to make a father's heart just flutter with joy beyond all measure. And it's in the story of Luke 15. I'm not going to take time to tell the story other than to briefly mention a father had 2 sons, and one of the sons came to the father. And the request that he made of his father was a request that if you had been there and you put yourself in the place of that father, you would understand where that father was. He'd raised those 2 boys, their two brothers in this family. For the first part of Luke chapter 15, the focus is on that younger brother. The latter part of this chapter talks about the older brother, and so in the latter part of this lesson, we'll be talking about that older brother. But that young brother came and he says, "Father, you know, I'm ready for my inheritance." It was his. It was due him. Sometimes we forget about the fact that it was mandatory. Deuteronomy chapter 17 describes that it was mandatory that those possessions be divided, and that the older brother got the larger portion whenever the father died. But here's a son who comes to the father. And when that son comes to the father, he breaks his father's heart by withdrawing from the father's by withdrawing his presence from the father's love and from that family. I want you to stop and think about the heart of that father at a time like that. all of those years they'd been together, and that son was there with that father. And when he comes to the father, he says, "I'm not happy with where I am." Now, that does not necessarily mean that every son that ever leaves home leaves with that motive at all. But if you'll put yourself in the place of that father, what that son did that day and the things that transpired that day was a thing that would break the heart of any father. And I want to say how important it is that every son and every daughter understand that they're part of a family. They'll always be part of a family. Even though my father is long deceased, I'm still part of the Jenkins family. And the same thing is true of you. If your father is no longer in your life, you're still a part of that family. But here's a son who comes to his father and says, "I don't like where I am. I don't like this environment in which I find myself." And there's no indication at all there was any ungodliness in that home. In fact, when the son returns, you'll see that everything in that home was wonderful and good. But if you'll stop and think about the fact that here this son here says, "I don't enjoy being around the family." You and I need to have an appreciation that the attitude of that son is a self-centered attitude. All that matters in this family, as far as that son is concerned, all that matters is me. And if you are a son or a daughter, you need to understand that you're only a part of that family. The family does not revolve around you. And if you're parents of young children, you have a responsibility to help your children not grow up thinking that the whole world revolves around them, that everybody in this family is to serve them and to make them happy and they're to get their way on every occasion. But there's a responsibility that we need to have that we've sometimes sing together about. We're part of a family. And all that transpires in this family is a part of the greater family and not just a part of a limited, self-centered child. I think of some dear friends that Judy and I have had for many years. They had a young son who was wayward and who was causing so much problem in the family, and the parents had worked with him and worked with him and worked with him. Until finally they just told the son, "We've done everything we can to help you get your life straightened. And we are, by you demanding all of the attention being placed on you, have been neglecting the other members of this family. And we want you to know, unless you choose to change your life, we'll still love you. We'll still treat you right. But you're not going to be the central part of this family that draws and sucks the spiritual life out of the rest of the family members who are here." That young son was a self-centered son. The father of that young son was child-centered in the sense he was not selfish. He was there for his sons. In fact, was it not he who said, "All that I have is yours"? He had already given much of it to that younger son. And he says to the older son, "Everything that I have." But this individual was tired of being a child. And the father, he wanted to be without him. He didn't want the father to be in his life. Is that you? You and I need to understand that in a day and a time, whenever we have chosen a day in this land to honor our fathers and our mothers, that we cannot ever afford to be so self-centered as this individual was. Because you see, here is this son who says, "I don't want my father in my life anymore." You stop and look at it. Life teaches you a lot of things. And the reality is that someday children will miss their fathers. Those of you whose fathers are distant away from you geographically, those of you whose fathers perhaps are deceased, you miss them. And I find it remarkable just looking at Facebook over the last few days of how many times there are just statements about my father's been dead 10 years, my father's been dead 20 years, and oh, how I miss him. What I'm trying to say is, young people, while you are at home, don't you demand that that home be centered around you. You become part of that family, and you bring honor and respect to your father in that home, because that's the right thing to do. And it is always right to do right. The father's heart was broken because the child withdrew from the family. You want to break a father's heart today? Then withdraw yourself from that father. Think of the times your father has reached out to you and tried to build a bridge back to you. Think of all the efforts that they have made, and sometimes they were clumsily made, and you may have resented that the clumsiness of their approach, but you need to understand that father has reached out to you, and you need to honor that. That self-centered child who's happy and boisterous around everybody at school and when on the phone and whenever they're around others, but the minute they walk in the house, they become sullenly depressed and they walk into their own room. They're not a part of a family anymore. That's not what God had in mind. We're part of a family, and we need to honor our fathers and our mothers. That child broke his father's heart because he forsook not just the family, but when he got away, he forsook the values of that family. He actually had forsaken the values of that family while he was home. When he came to his father and he said, "I want my portion of the inheritance right now," his heart was not where the heart of his father was. His heart was different from the heart of his father. But that craving for material things caused him not to drink deeply of the spiritual nature of his father, but to drink of the world and let the values of the world choke out the spiritual values that were to be found in that home. Many of you today have had godly fathers and godly mothers. The very values that you have today are the values that you learned when you were a child. And how thankful we ought to be that in our children's life, that are in the lives of children, there are those who learn of spiritual values early in their life, but this son did not want to have those values. And so he left home. Because the values of that home were not his values, the treasures of this world meant more to him than the joy of being in that home. And so the Bible indicates that he chose the world over his own family, over his own family and over the values of that family. There's a third way that child broke the heart of that father, and that is that child forsook the father's moral values. Immorality is a great curse in our day. You see, the only possession that a mother and a father have on this earth that they can take to heaven is their children. Can I say that again? A child is the only possession a mother or a father have that they can take to heaven. Those of us who are fathers need to understand and appreciate that. And those of us who are sons and daughters need to understand that the values that we have will either open the doors of heaven and keep them open to us, or the doors will be shut for us, because sin and immorality makes it impossible for this to happen, and that is a father and a mother to take that child to heaven. The one earthly thing they have, they can have in eternity, is those children. Young people, think about this. When the world tries to get you to do wrong and say things and do things that are not right, you need to understand that a godly mother and a godly father have put values in your life, and they're part of your heart and they're part of your soul. And whenever you get out on your own, don't you dare become another person. When you're at school, you don't need to be different from the way you are when you're in Bible classes here in this church building. Whenever you go off to college, you don't need to become another person and get out into the world and think, well, now I'm free, I can do anything that I want to do. Because immorality and sin, and the son was having fun. And I put the fun in quotation marks because it wasn't fun. But the father's heart is broken. Honor thy father and thy mother. And if you want to break the heart of a father or break a heart of a mother, then give up on the values. Not because you found greater values, but because of self-centered interest in your life to do your own thing and to walk in your own way. To walk away from the values that are based upon the resurrected Son of God, upon Jesus, upon Emmanuel, who lived on this earth and says, here's where true happiness is found. The son was having fun, but the father's heart was being devastated. There are some verses in the Bible to consider. Two of them are found in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21 says, the father of a fool has no joy. And verse 25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, in brief statements, talks so much about life. Every son, every daughter needs to hear these words. The father of a fool has no joy, and a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to his mother. That son left home, and there's a verse in Romans chapter 10, the very end of that chapter, where God said, in reference to the children of Israel, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and to a contrary people. Break your father's heart, then forsake the moral values of your father. Just briefly in passing, God, our father's heart is broken when we withdraw from the family. The story of the prodigal, we can look at this from the viewpoint of that earthly father and the breaking of the heart of that earthly father. But think of our Heavenly Father. Whenever we withdraw ourselves from His love and from the family, think of the fact that the heart of God is broken whenever we desert the family values, and how the heart of God is broken whenever we desert and forsake the moral values that He's given to for us to treasure. To get on the brighter side, the father's heart is filled with joy. You want to break your father's heart? Then be like that son who's in that foreign country, living in that immoral condition. But if you want to cause your child, if you want to have joy, then you need to understand that when the child seeks the father's relationship, there's joy. You stop and for just a moment. And on this day, whenever we seek to honor fathers, when was the last time that you said words that would have encouraged your father and words of gratitude and expressions of joy about how wonderful it is to have Him in your life. It doesn't just need to be one day a year, but a part of our lives. If we're going to be part of a family, it's the expression of gratitude to fathers and mothers, but on this day, but to fathers to say, I am so glad. You see, the prodigal's view of himself over there in that distant land and the attitude that he had of himself is so different from the attitude that his father had. Whenever that son comes to himself, and whenever that prodigal looks at himself and hates what he sees, the father looked at that very same son within a brief period of time, days, perhaps even hours, and looked at that same son and saw that son totally different. Why? Because here's a son in the latter part of this story who's seeking to have that relationship. I will arise, he says, and I'll go to my father. And the father did not see the ragged clothes, though he mentions them. He did not see the feet that were bare, though he mentions them. He did not see the skinny bones of that son, though they are implied. That's the way the prodigal saw himself. But every child needs to understand that that father looks at you differently from the way that you do. And so that prodigal son coming home is ready to say to his father, let me be a slave. But you see, the father didn't see him that way. It's the fatted calf, it's the robe, it's the ring. The rather remarkable thing is, the one thing he did not ask the son to do was to take a bath. That is remarkable. Imagine how that son must have smelled, having been over there in the pigsty. And yet that father says, I want my son home, and it doesn't make any difference what he's done. That's a remarkable story from American history. When the Civil War was going on in America, somebody asked President Lincoln, what are you going to do all these Southerners whenever we win the war? What are you going to do to them? And he said, I'm going to treat them like it never happened. And that's the way the father of this prodigal son is. And young people, you need to understand that when you have done wrong and you hate what you see in yourself, that's not the way your father and your mother see you. When you're seeking to have that relationship to their fathers, to your fathers. How imperative it is for us to understand this. And by the way, parents, just in passing, some of the greatest words I ever heard from an older man of the church when our children were very young. I think perhaps Debbie, our oldest, would have been about 6 or 7 years of age. And an elder of the church in Birmingham said, Dan, you really have good children. One of these days you're going to break your heart. And the measure of you as a father is not if they do wrong. The measure of you as a father is what they do after they've done wrong. And those who have small children and those who can still mold the lives of children, you need to teach children how to straighten up the messes they've made of their lives and help them understand the consequences of the decisions that they have made and help them to understand how you make it right, because that prodigal son knew how to make it right. His view of the father, his view of himself was so different. And his view of the father was different from the father's view of the father. The father understood it. He thought, the only way I'll be able to get back home is to go back as a hired servant. And the father would hardly, would not even let him get those words out of his mouth. Not only did the father's heart was filled with joy because he sought the relationship, but because he respected the father's authority. The day before the return and the weeks after the return, when that fellowship was sought, are so different. And how important it is for us to understand that whenever that son decides, I'm going to have that relationship and I'm going to come back home and I'm going to be subject to my father, the world absolutely changes. Look again in relationship to this and understand that the father left in rebellion, but he returns in submission. Understand that the prodigal left seeking money, with the love of money being adamant in his life, and he returned loving his father. And understand that it's better to be submissive than it is to be free. And put the word free in quotation marks. There was a young lady in New Zealand who ran away from home because she thought her mom and her dad were too restrictive of them. So she went to a large city some distance away and met some young men, and they found an apartment, really a one-room cabin that they put her in. And you know the thing she missed most was the direction that she had received from her mother and her father, and she came back home. Because that which she identified as freedom was not freedom at all, it was bondage. It's better to be a submissive servant than it is to be free. There's a third way that child brought joy to his father, and that is whenever he learned to appreciate his father's forgiveness. I'm in rags. I don't understand what awaits me. Just let me be a hired servant. Maybe if I'm paid enough, maybe I'll be able to buy some clothes. Maybe I'll be able to buy some food. But you see, he did not understand the father's forgiveness. The father's nature had not changed. The whole time he'd been living in that foreign land, the father's nature had not changed. And the prodigal could have returned at any time, and the only reason he didn't was not because the father would not receive him back, but because he didn't want to go back. But whenever that son began to appreciate the father's forgiveness, then instead of being among the hogs, wanting to eat the very food he was giving to the pigs, he now has a festive time when he comes home and seeks his father's forgiveness. It'd be interesting if we could just end the story here without talking about that older brother and how he didn't want his brother to come back. The negative of that is he was jealous of the fact his brother had returned. But flip that part of that and think about the joy that could have been had that older brother been one who wanted to have the prodigal back in his life. The child and the brother had the same father. Prodigal child, the prodigal son, and the older brother had the same father. And so it is in our relationship to Christ. The father loves all of his children. He loved the son who was at home, who was not nearly as spiritual, evidently in some respects, as the son who was returning home. But the father still loved him, because that's a part of a child loving the entire family. Wouldn't it be interesting whenever that older brother saw that the younger brother had come and the father ran out to him? Wouldn't it be wonderful if in this story that older brother ran out and ran with the father to say, my brother's home? And even more interesting, wouldn't it be if that son who knew his brother was in that foreign land living an immoral life, if he'd left home himself and gone to the place where his brother was? And when that father looked in the distance, he didn't see just one son, the prodigal, returning. He saw that older brother walking hand in hand arms intertwined with that brother who'd been wayward. Because you see, to bring joy to a father, children need to love the entire family. And whether you're at home with your family, love your family. And understand, if you want to bring joy and happiness in the home, you love all those siblings that are there. Spiritual application, God's heart is happy whenever we seek to have a relationship with Him. Our God is happy whenever we respect His authority. And our God is happy whenever we appreciate His forgiveness. And our God is happy when we love the entire family. Young people and those who are not so young, honor your father and your mother. And don't you ever get so self-centered in your home, in your family, or so self-centered in the spiritual family, the church, that it all becomes about you and about you having your way and everything revolving around you. But be like that loving father and like the brother that we describe, hopefully in the latter part of this lesson, of going out and finding those who are wayward and bringing them back and receiving them. The Father said, I have lived on this earth, and all that I have is yours. And young people, that's the way your Father feels about you. I have lived on this earth, and the one reason I have lived on this earth is to help you get ready to go to heaven. I've lived my life so I'll be able to take to heaven the only possession I have on this earth that I'll be able to take to the other side, and that is our children. Honor your father and your mother. Somebody said, well, I wish I had that kind of a father. And that may be true. And it may be the father wish he had another kind of son or another kind of daughter in relationship to this. We're family. And let's love each other and help each other go to heaven. Are you a part of God's spiritual family? His plan is very simple. To become a part of His family, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to make up your mind to follow Him. You need to repent of the wrong that's in your life. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, because that's His plan. Mark 16 talks about the importance of faith, and Luke 13 talks about the importance of repentance, and Romans chapter 10 talks about the importance of letting people know that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You need to be baptized. Baptized into the body. Baptized into the family, and let God wash away your sins. He'll add you to the family, to the body, to the kingdom. And then He says, now that you're God's child, do the best you can, as long as you can, and I will give you the crown of life. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now, as together we stand and sing. Will you come?